Well, we're all here this morning for a number of reasons, but many of them are because of decisions that were made in the past. Now, you may think I'm trying to get very profound here when I say that, but I mean those little decisions like last night before going to bed, you turned on the alarm clock to make sure you woke up on time this morning. This morning when that alarm clock went off, you made the decision to respond to that and answer it. Now maybe you're like me and you hit snooze a few times first and get those last few winks of sleep in before your feet hit the ground and get up. Actually, when I was in high school, I had this great alarm clock as a baseball, and to turn it off, you had to throw it. And that was perfect for those mornings I really didn't want to get out of bed. So you made those decisions to set the alarm clock, to get up this morning, to have your feet touch the ground, to get out of bed, to get dressed, to get ready, to get in a car, a van, or walk here, to attend and be here with one another. Those little decisions we make, past decisions, lead to present situations. Past choices lead to present implications. Right? So those little things. But we also have things in life that are so profound, so big in our lives that it's a decision that no matter how much time passes, it could be years that pass before we realize that our present has been profoundly impacted by those past decisions. So this is where I am getting a little more profound. Well, in 2 weeks from now, 23 years ago, in 2 weeks from now, we celebrate the anniversary of a day when there was a beautiful young lady who walked through those doors right there and walked up this aisle, and I walked through that door and stood up here, and Rachel and I exchanged vows. 23 years later, that has a profound impact on our life now. Those decisions made then have impacted our present. The past influences our present. Similarly, our choices that we make now, actions that we take now, our present also impacts the future, doesn't it? What's interesting, in the Greek language, the language that the New Testament was written in, there are verb tenses that capture these realities, these past actions that have present implications, past choices that lead to where we're at today. It's actually the perfect tense to use in situations like this because it actually is called the perfect tense. It's something that is past and completed, but yet impacts today. So I want you to think about that as we read the verses up on the screen, and I want you to pay particular attention to where you see the words have heard or have seen, okay? I'm going to read through this. This is from the book of 1 John. If you'd like to turn there or just turn your attention to the screen, and I'll read from 1 John chapter 1. We announce to you what existed from the beginning, that we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have seen and our hands have handled, about the word of life. The life was revealed and we have seen, and we testify and announce to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard, we also announce it to you so that you can have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. So maybe you're one who does take notes in your Bible. I would invite you to even circle those words, the have heard, the have seen. Here again, we have seen. Do you need to? I'll give you a little more light here as I'm writing. Down here again, we have seen. Have seen and heard. Then again, verse 5, which we'll get to in a moment, have heard. This is written by John. And John's recounting how they have seen, they have heard, they have experienced. They were eyewitnesses to certain events from past that had present implications for them today. I want you to use your imaginations and think about what John had experienced himself. Think about those things that which he is an eyewitness to. When people had life-threatening illnesses and he saw Jesus go up to them and just speak a word or a gentle touch and that person was healed. Someone who couldn't walk could now walk. Someone who couldn't hear could now hear. Someone who couldn't see could now see. Profound, amazing experiences that he was an eyewitness to. He saw it all. Think about when Jesus went up on the mountain. He invited three of his close friends, Peter, James, and John. John was one of them. And John was an eyewitness to see this transformation of Jesus and to see Moses and Elijah appear and Jesus talking with them. He was an eyewitness to these events. He saw this happen. And as they return, how do you tell your friends about that? Think about how he would be walking with Jesus and someone who is possessed by a demon, who is literally out of their mind, naked, chained up, but yet breaking through every chain. No one could restrain them. And yet Jesus, in a few words, speaks, and this person is healed, and they are brought back to their right mind. John was an eyewitness to these events, amazing, incredible things that happened. When Jesus was praying in the garden before he was to be arrested, John was there. He saw those sweat drops of blood as Jesus was praying in agony, anticipating what was about to happen. As Jesus hung on the cross, John was there, observing, watching. As Jesus breathed his last, John saw it. 3 days later, after the grief had been burdensome to John and his friends, they get news from a few women that the tomb was empty. What's going on? John ran to the tomb, and he humbly confesses that he is a little bit faster than Peter. And he made it there, and he saw the empty tomb for himself. And then suddenly, he sees Jesus, the risen Lord, right there as an eyewitness, face to face with the risen Lord. And it wasn't just John creating up something. There were over 500 people who saw this themselves and were eyewitnesses to the risen Lord after his death and resurrection. An eyewitness to these events that were so profound, so amazing, that those past events had impact for the present. John writes this book, this letter, 1 John, he writes this decades after those events took place. Those past actions that he was an eyewitness to had present implications decades later. Past experiences affect the present. I want you to look at this passage again. I want to focus on a couple other words. And here I draw an arrow underneath it with an arrow pointing to the right under the word "we testify" and "announce." And then down here we "can have." Actually, another "announce" right here in verse 3. As I said, that not only our past actions have present implications, but our present actions have future implications as well. And yes, there is a Greek verb form for that also. I like to call it the perpetual tense. It's this tense where it's something I'm doing now, but it's going to continue on into the future and impact the future. It's perpetual tense. So with John, these past actions, these past things that he was experiencing, these things that he was an eyewitness to, affected the present. The present that was continuing on into the future was this perpetual state, this lifestyle, you could call it, of continually testifying and announcing to others this message of hope and grace and goodness. Past actions had present implications. And you think about, if you were an eyewitness to these events, how do you keep quiet about that? Even decades later, you've got to talk about this. This is amazing stuff to see people healed, people transformed. Jesus, who died but yet rose again and then appeared to 500 people, and then they watched him ascend on up into heaven. And to see that, how do you keep quiet? Past actions had present implications. The present actions were affecting the future. They're announcing, they're proclaiming of this good news, this message, has implications even now, thousands of years later, for us today. So let's go ahead and read on. As we read on, beginning in verse 5, we see where the present actions have future implications quite significantly. I'm going to put that little arrow pointing to the right to show that present and continual under a few words as I'm reading. This is the message we all have heard and continually announced to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. If we claim that we continually have fellowship with him, but yet continually live in darkness, we are lying and we do not act truthfully. But if we continually live in the light, in the same way that he is continually in the light, we will perpetually have fellowship, a deep abiding communion with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, will cleanse us continually from every sin. If we claim that we live in this state of this perpetual state of not sinning, yeah, we've deceived ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we continually confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from everything we have done wrong. If we claim we have never sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. That last one, the never sinned, there is actually that perfect tense, a past action that has present implications. So let me summarize what John is getting at here. Now, if we continually claim to continually have fellowship with him, but yet we continually live in darkness, we are lying and do not act truthfully. This is not what John is not saying here. He's not saying that if you claim to have a relationship with God and you mess up here or there, then you're a liar. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about this perpetual lifestyle. If we claim that we have this lifestyle of connecting with God, this fellowship with him, but yet we're continually living this lifestyle of darkness, that's where we become liars. That truth is not in us. But yet if we continually and perpetually live in the light in the same way as he is continually in the light, then we will always and continually have this fellowship, this deep abiding communion with one another, and experience this relationship with God where the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us and washes over us. Present things that are happening now and can happen now, but significantly impact the future. In contrast here, in verse 10, that perfect tense of the sin, he's saying, if you claim that you continually live in this state of not sinning earlier, and then verse 10, if you claim that you've never sinned in the past and it has that impact today, that's where we're not being honest with ourselves. Now, Pastor Bruce last week had talked about how it's easy for us today to have this idea that the word sin is kind of antiquated. You know, isn't that for those hellfire and brimstone preachers to talk about sin and how bad we are and how much we've really messed up? Well, the word for sin that's used here in Scripture, it's an archery term that means missing the target. And I think if we were to be honest, we'd all admit, yes, there are many ways in which we've missed the target. We've missed the mark of what God would have for us. In some way, in the past, even in the present, we do from time to time, we miss that target of what God would have us to do. And John is giving us this beautiful message here, this message that they proclaim because of what he has seen in the past, what he has experienced, and he's now continually proclaiming to us. It's this message of a beautiful grace of God where whether we miss the target in the past, whether we still occasionally do, that there is a grace available to us that if we continually confess to God those ways that we've missed that target, he forgives us. He cleanses us. We can be made right. And we can live in this perpetual state of light as he is in the light. This perpetual relationship with God that doesn't end and it's not just linked to a few events. It's this lifestyle of ongoing into the future. Our present choices, our present actions impact the future in profound ways. And we are reminded of that in this passage. As we now look at the first couple of verses of chapter 2, John says, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you don't sin, so that you don't miss the mark. But if you do miss the target, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is God's way of dealing with our sins, not only ours, but the sins of the whole world or the whole cosmos," as the wording declares. Past actions have present implications. Present actions have future implications. As we think about this process, and especially as we think about it in the context of God's grace and forgiveness and those times that we've missed the target, those times that we've missed the mark, maybe there's a lot swirling through your mind as we look at this passage in that regard. our minds can probably go in two different directions here. One, maybe we think about, on the one hand, we think about those past actions with present implications in terms of those past decisions where I really messed up. I really missed the target on that. And now I'm facing the consequences of those, maybe weeks, months, or even years later because of those decisions we've made. If that's the case, if that's where your mind goes when we think about this passage and think about past actions having present implications, we have a reminder here. The grace of God is big. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just and will truly forgive you for your sins and will cleanse you from all unrighteousness so that our present doesn't leave us stuck based on the past, but our present now can send us on a new trajectory on into the future. Maybe as you think about past actions that have led to present implications, maybe you think of the positive things. Maybe you think of those choices. Maybe it's that going to the altar as a child and kneeling and praying and confessing at that moment and inviting Jesus into your life. And now you see the difference that that has made all these years later. Maybe you think of the choices that you have made in terms of maybe friendships that have built, relationships that you've made that have helped to encourage you along the path, that have helped to steer you to the place where right now you are here today by the grace of God because of those past decisions, more than just setting the alarm clock last night, but those decisions that I want to know God. I want to have a relationship with Him. I want to grow in that. I want to have a community where we can do this together. Maybe your mind goes there. I want you also to think about, as we look at this passage and thinking about the present actions that have future implications, and ask the question, if sin is an archery term, or came from an archery term, that meant missing the target, what direction is our life, what is the trajectory of our life right now, based on future choices, on present choices, present actions? What trajectory is that sending our life towards? Is it sending us in a direction that is heading closer to God, drawing nearer to Him, serving Him more faithfully, responding to Him and saying yes to all that He has for us? Or are our present decisions leading us on a path that is steering us away where we are going to miss the target more and more? A lot to sort through as we think about this incredible message that started back with John and a group of his friends who were eyewitnesses to amazing things that transformed their present life, that because of that, they began proclaiming this message that went on into the future, that transformed other people's present, that transformed their future, that went on to spread that message even further until it gets to us a couple thousand years later, and here we are. This message of God's grace and God's love presently proclaimed to us through Scripture, through others, through listening, and this message that will transform our future and change our lives. I'm going to invite us to a time of prayer before we lead into communion. And I don't know what God may be stirring in you, or as you think about this passage, what might be going on. Maybe it is those past actions, that it's time to have a time of confession, to really deal with them. Bring them before our Lord and know that His grace is big. Maybe it's the simple things. You know, those past decisions that lead us to where we're at today, sometimes they are those big, profound moments. Those exchanging of vows as Rachel came down the aisle that have impacted me today. But there are also those little things that maybe seem insignificant at the time, but yet affect our time today. I think back to my active childhood, riding bikes, running, climbing trees, jumping out of trees, chasing frogs and whatever I could catch. That active childhood gave me some health benefits today. I'm reaping an award for the present from past actions. However, that active childhood has also given me certain aches and pains along the way because I had a very active childhood, and I feel it today in many ways. Those one little significance that one bike ride doesn't make a difference, but the bike riding, the running, the activity did make a difference for me today. It's the same thing with our relationship with God. There are those profound moments that we experience God, and it changes the trajectory of our lives, but there are also those little decisions along the way, and maybe that's where you're dealing at right now. Maybe it's, I really could get up a few minutes early, spend time every day in prayer, just asking God, Lord, what do you have for me today? Maybe I could open scripture more frequently than I do. Maybe I could be more intentional about being in church and being with others and learning and plugging into a Sunday school where I can learn and grow together. Those little decisions that we make in the present also have profound impact on our future and where we're going. So I'm going to invite us just to a time of prayer, whatever you may be thinking about and pondering. Let's make this a time of confession, commitment, and renewal. Let's pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we have missed the target in our thoughts, our words, our actions, both by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We confess that we have not always loved you with our whole heart. We have not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry. We humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.